Welcome back to another episode of This Week on Channel 9. I'm your host, Christina Warren, Senior Cloud Developer Advocate. And just a little bit of housekeeping at the top of the show. I'm recording this on a Wednesday rather than a Thursday because I'll be in Portland this weekend for a mini vacation / the XOXO conference. And as a result, I'll miss some of the latest news, but when appropriate, I'll make sure that the links in the description are up to date. Also, next week we'll probably be recording early as well because of the .NET conference, so that's just a little heads up. Speaking of the .NET conference, it'll be taking place right here on Channel 9, September 12th through 14th, and the .NET conference is a free 3-day virtual conference put on by Microsoft and the .NET community, so be sure to tune in because there is lots of great .NET stuff happening. In other event news, Microsoft Ignite is taking place September 24th through 28th in Orlando, and I'll be there along with the Channel 9 crew and plenty of other members of the CDA and Cloud Ops advocacy teams. And so if you see me in Orlando, please be sure to say hello. And if you can't make it in person, don't worry, we'll be live streaming great content from the event. Moving on to some please buy your system admins a beer or a hot chocolate news. A severe weather event near Azure's South Central U.S. data center on Tuesday has caused some major issues in downtime of services hosted in that region. And as I record this, the engineering teams are still working to get everything back up and running, and a full postmortem isn't available, but this is what we know so far, and I'm just basically reading this directly from the Azure status page. So, a severe weather event, including lightning strikes, occurred near one of the South Central U.S. data centers. And this is in San Antonio, Texas, where there have been a lot of flash flood warnings and severe lightning storms. And this resulted in a power voltage increase that impacted cooling systems. And so the automated data center procedures to ensure that data and hardware integrity, it went into effect and critical hardware entered into a structured power down process. Engineers have restored access to storage resources for the majority of services, and most customers should be seeing signs of recovery. Engineers are continuing to work on any residual storage impact to fully mitigate this issue. And the support teams are working with the impacted service teams to validate their service health to update the various Azure status pages. And the latest update that I have is that engineers have restored storage availability for the majority of impacted services, and customers should be continuing to see improvements to service availability. And look, outages, even when they're caused by severe and unavoidable weather events, are never fun. And I know what an impact that this can have on your businesses and productivity. And the teams are doing everything they can to get things up and running. I will have links in the description to the latest status pages. And if a postmortem for this event goes up by the time we publish, I'll have that link too. And we'll be sure to cover the postmortem in a future TWC9 if that happens. So in some happier news, and remember, be nice to your systems and ops people this week, there's some great content on Channel 9 for you to check out, including the latest episode of The Open Source Show. And in this episode, Scott Hanselman is joined by Stephanie Hurlbot to talk about giving back to open source, including topics like lending privilege and why giving back matters. And on the latest Tuesdays with Corey Sanders sat down with Dan Rosanova, a principal PM responsible for Azure messaging services, and Dan shares some new functionality around event hubs with Kafka compatibility. In some Java news, aka Bruno's Java Corner, the Azure CDA team published a guide on how to deploy JHipster applications, and this uses Pivotal's Spring Boot framework on Azure. And the documentation is live on the JHipster website, and it is linked in the show notes. And on the Microsoft Docs site, the Java team has published a set of articles and extensions for Eclipse, MicroProfile, and Azure. Great stuff. In some .NET news, my friend Jeff Fritz has a great post and video for deploying ASP.NET Core with .NET Framework using Docker. And Jeff walks you through the entire process, and it's really easy to follow. And Jeff also has a Twitch channel where he live codes, and I'll link that and the blog post in the show notes below. And some other .NET news, my pal Max Rouillet has a post on the .NET blog that is a full introduction to Azure Durable Functions. And Azure Durable Functions is a new programming model based on Microsoft's serverless platform, Azure Functions. And it allows you to write a workflow as code and have the execution run with the scalability and reliability of serverless, but with high throughput. And so check out Max's post for instructions, and I'll also link to his sample app on GitHub. And if you're interested in getting info or expanding your serverless skills, you definitely want to check this out. And if you're brand new to .NET and Azure, check out Andrew Hall's great How to Get Started with Azure and .NET post linked in the show notes. And his blog post is intended to provide a short overview of the most common concepts and services .NET developers need to get started and to provide more resources to help you learn more. And don't forget, the .NET Conf is next week, and so you'll get plenty of other .NET stuff then. And now it's time for my pick of the week, which also happens to be some breaking news, as in this was just released as I was about to record this episode. The latest version of Visual Studio Code version 1.27 is out now, and this August 2018 update includes a number of significant updates, such as an improved settings editor. And so this started a few months back, but the GUI for the settings keeps getting better and better. And there's now a custom menu bar in Linux and Windows. There are some breadcrumb improvements. There are more platform-specific key bindings and more. And the insider's release of Visual Studio Code will likely ship with the latest version of Electron soon. So if you want it to be on the cutting edge, check that out and you can have both installed at once. My husband has recently become a VS Code diehard, which is more proof that he never listens to me. And I have to say, the editor keeps getting better and better. All right, well, that does it for me. We will be back next week with even more news. In the meantime, if you like this video, be sure to hit on that like button and subscribe to our channel, Microsoft Developer, to get updates on all the latest developer news. See you next time.